Wednesday afternoon, Shara Avodas Avokim, Lady Shear. It's the Yom Dalad, the Parshas Dvarim, July 22nd, Vav of Toshinayan Hay. It's the 25th Shear in Shara Avodas Avokim. Okay, so we're learning Avodas Avokim. And he's really down to nitty gritty. There are really two places in the Sefer that Chodesh Avodas gives what we would call Musar, and really nitty gritty in human behavior, not the bigger picture. I think one of them is going to come up now, and the other one happens to be in Shara HaKniyah, where he goes through all the methodology of the Yetzer Hara. Here he's talking on a higher spiritual plane. He's talking positive. He's talking about Avodas Elokim. And he is in the section of Shara Avodas Elokim where he's explicating Ha'ora Sichlis. We're talking about very high Madrega. If you're listening, it's a little depressing. You're here for the social contact and you're not listening, so then you don't have to worry. A lot of the Chodesh Halvavos is ideal descriptions of the way a person should be. Either you have to know the goal. If you don't know the goal, then, you know, if you know what you're striving for, even if you know you're not going to get there, or it's too hard to get there, or it takes too much work to get there, and it takes so many years to get there, but it's important to know what the goal is. It's important to know what it's supposed to be. Number two is, if you take a step in the right direction, it's wonderful, it's fantastic, you feel accomplished. Lo alecha hamelacha ligmar is something that's true across the board in Yiddishkeit. So that's number two. And number three is that maybe we can do an ideal once a week, once a month. We can hit, well, I'm really doing this lishma, or I'm really doing this because it's Hashem's will only, and maybe we could hit that high point once in a while. So it's good to know it's there, so you can try to hit it once in a while. We're in the conversation between the seichel and the nefesh, and a lot of detail in the conversation, but it's interesting. If you would write a play of this, it really is written very well. He goads the seichel goads the nefesh into certain admissions, into certain expressing certain desires. Do you really want to get close to Hashem? Do you really feel a sense of gratitude? Do you really want to grow, etc.? And he has him at the point where he's saying yes, yes, yes. He's saying okay, but it's, the seichel says, you have to take medicine. Right now you're not good. So the first thing is, you have to take medicine. And then he says, then he hits him with, and if you can't take medicine if you're not eating healthy, so what good will the medicine do you? First thing comes about medicine, you can't fool the doctor. You know, if the doctor gives you pills, and then you throw the pills in the garbage, thank you very much. And then, so you haven't accomplished anything, and who are you fooling? You're not fooling the doctor, you know. The doctor telling you the way it's supposed to be. What? No, it's fine. I don't need any more. It's good. Thank you. So then he says, okay, I'm ready. It's going to be bitter. Meaning you have to change certain midos in you. You have to change the way you feel about certain things. It's very, very hard. So Salanta famously said it's harder to change a midah than to learn all of Shas. And we don't know many people who have learned all of Shas. And it's harder to change a midah. People, think of how many people that changed, really changed. Don't get angry anymore. Have patience. It's very hard to change a midah. Okay, we're going to try. That's the bitter medicine. You have to change. So then he says, but as long as you're not eating healthy, then the medicine's not going to help you. So he asks him, Omar Seichel, Omar Nefesh, Omar Seichel, and mashal v'chart emes that you really want to change, and hisapki altsar v'rafu of the sidli merirus asan v'roa taimo, you're going to tolerate the bitterness of the medicine and the unpleasantness of its taste. Achar asher timoni menamachal harasha yisrugila bo, you have to give up the unhealthy food that you're eating it. So that's before the medicine comes stopping unhealthy eating habits. Amar hanefesh umahu amachal hara asher hayisi regila bo v'nosenes on the last seichel. Yeah, you eat what you're used to. You eat those ropes and you're always feeding it and you're always acting that way. You have to uproot the meat before we can. Before I say tov, you know, while you're mired in ego, the two unhealthy foods that he's talking about is not salt and sugar, although they're healthy. It's not even regular wheat bread, not whole wheat. He's talking about the two poisons, he says, are physical pleasures, that's a goal in life. It's not unhealthy in the sense of it's objectively bad, but it's unhealthy as a goal. So that becomes the focus of life. You want to have this, you want to have that, you want to, whether it's food or it's whatever it is, the whole physical pleasures. That's one poison. If that's a goal of your life, it's going to be very hard to develop avodas Elokim. And the other unhealthy poison, Omer Asechel Amidos Amaguna Shebach Rabos Abos Harosham VeIkron, the main Ashtayim Midos, two Midos rows. Achas Ben Achas HaNos HaGufnius, physical, the desire. Ava means it's a desire. You want it, not you like it. You want it. You chase it. You go after it. People want it. I'm afraid to say because there's a difference. Sometimes you need things, but if you understand, you're mature women, understand anything I say, it's just some people need a bigger house. Some people just want a bigger house. Some people want nice, fancier clothing. Some people want a nicer car. They want, you know, a certain lifestyle.
A car, four wheels, yes.
They want a certain lifestyle. They want vacations. They want physical pleasures, and they many people, nobody in this room of course, but many people, their lives are structured, whether it's whoever brings in the parnassah in the house, what is it at the expense of, is because they want to maintain a certain lifestyle that they don't necessarily need. Anyway, the desire for physical pleasures, Chavis always talks about this. He spends an entire Sha'ar on this, called Sha'ar HaPrishus. It was the end of the Sefer, it's like the high of Madrega, and he focuses on it there. But he says, this desire is your first poison. V'hamida azos kanis osa. You caught it. Min shchena chara, from you have a bad neighbor that gave it to you. It was contagious. V'gufech, I'm talking to the nefesh. Your neighbor, Mr. Guf, the Guf is Bahami, so the goof wants, and the goof transfers to you this desire. Bahamida Hashemit, so first is pursuit of physical pleasures. Bahamida Hashemit is emotional. This was physical, and then there's emotional. My emotional needs that are not really correct according to the Torah. I want to be admired, I want to be liked. Sometimes that could be a good thing, but many times it's a bad thing. I want people to like me. I want people to hold of me. I want people to think good and well of me. I want to have power over other people. I want to be empowered to, I want to be in charge. I need to be in charge. I need that. I don't want to take orders. I want to give orders. Mm-hmm. Of course, whoever in this room wants to give orders, not take, is because the other person always messes up. So that's the reason you want to give orders, but you know you want to be in a position of power. The Hagadula, you want to have your name up in the headlines. The Hageus, the Hagavus, the Hakina, jealous of other people. So these are emotional issues, not physical issues, emotional issues. This is always how he phrases Avodas Hashem. He always throws in Avodas Hashem as repaying Hashem, feeling gratitude towards Hashem, saying thank you to Hashem for everything he gives us. So that these are the two major obstacles. The second one, these are very interesting. The first one you got from your guf, because the guf is a guf of Bahami. The second one, he says, again, this is a theme in the Chavis of Lovus. We don't relate to it well, but this is what he says, and it's the kind of thing you have to say. Too much interaction with other people. It's good to be to be a loner. I don't know, you know, again, what's a loner mean? You can be a hermit, a loner. It's good to be alone. Don't be so dependent. That's, I guess, I'm going to have to say it in a safe way. Although I'd be more than happy to just stay in the room my whole life and everybody just leave me alone. I told you, if you ask my children, what does Tati want? Anything, the most in the world, what does Tati want? They will all answer you to be left alone. You know that. He says the first thing comes from the guf, the second thing comes because we're too dependent on our social interactions with other people. So we develop kina, and we develop one-upsmanship, and we develop our own sense of self-worth from what the other person thinks of me. And that's like the kiss of death, according to Chazal. It's terrible. He devotes the whole shahr of shahr yichud ha-maisa to climbing out of that mire. But here he's just going over it quickly. These are the two midos that mess up your avodas Hashem. Avodas Hashem is gratitude. If I think I'm the center of the universe, I am a gaiva sror of this, I will be much less inclined to thank Hashem for what I have, because I'll feel entitled and I won't want to humble myself by saying I'm totally dependent on Hashem, because that introduces into a person tremendous kaniya, which Kalilos devotes a whole shahr to, called shahr hakaniya. And that is, in one word, if you say avodas Hashem, it's like a trick question on a quiz. Avodas Hashem, you say in one word, what the Chavis Avodas is picture of avodas Hashem, and you say gratitude. You wouldn't be wrong, but what he really thinks it is, it's kniya. Because it's the realization, after you feel gratitude, that you can never thank Hashem enough. So you feel the way you feel if someone did something for you, and there's no way you could ever repay them, or acknowledge fully what they did for you, and thank them completely, and so you're embarrassed. It's like this, you know, it's like sort of an embarrassment. Frustration, it's an embarrassment, and that's how he wants us. And that's the Avodas Hashem, Kaniya, that we feel small towards vis-a-vis Hashem, because we're not, and that smallness comes from, that smallness comes from our inability to thank him, because everything is based on gratitude. We can never thank him enough. And Anachem Aspikim Lahodos L'Chai Hashem Elokeinu V'Lokei Avoseinu Alachas Me'elach Alfei Elofen Ve'rid Be'irvolos Pamim Atavol She'osisim Avoseinu V'Yimonu. Right? In Avoseinu, who thinks about that? I'm going off on a little tangent now. Who thinks about Avoseinu? Whoever helped my father escape Europe, I have to be internally indebted what the person did to my father. It happens to be his brother was the main person, and his brother stayed behind to send him money, and his brother was ultimately killed to the Nazis, Yimach Shmon. And I go around, I have a picture of him in my wallet, of his brother. He gave him his life to give my father money. My father was in yeshiva, and he gave him money to be able to run away. And the rest of the family, okay, that's my father, you know. So I have to be pointed at. Then we said, because if you're really talking about gratitude, then, you know, I have to have gratitude towards someone who did something for my father that enabled me to be here today. So there's no end. There's no end. We are the recipient of so much tova that it really is ludicrous to complain even about things, tzaros, that seem so overwhelmingly difficult. And no one's trying to minimize their... It is difficult because we have to cope with it. So, you know, I can't ignore it. I got to cope. And the coping is hard. So it's... But then you see it in perspective and you're resentful and angry and all those emotions that how can I find some Hashem? So that's in perspective, right? People that are ice garbage in gratitude, so you have these guys with these diseases that they can't move a muscle. Or okay, anyway, but okay. Getting back to what he's talking about, is that the two poisons of feeling gratitude is if you are a little too much the center of your universe and your pursuit of physical pleasures. So why you have to think, well, it doesn't explain himself. He says, you know, because you always want more. If you pursue the physical pleasures, there's no end. Yeshlomone wrote some assignment, as the Gemara says. Spiritual pleasure makes you want more spiritual pleasure in a very healthy sense, meaning this is good, and you know I want to do more, but it's healthy. That's like, you know, this is good. Physical pleasures, I'll prove it to you. Physical pleasures, as soon as you get used to it, and you're on to the next thing, so you don't have pleasure from what you have. It's like dust in your mouth. You bought a new car, you know, it's fine until you see the car that your neighbor bought. You know? People, we don't even realize how we think, you know? I lived in Muncie many years without an air conditioner. And I'm going to say something, you're going to laugh, but we think like that, we just don't want to admit it. If I only had an air conditioner, then I'd be happy. Then my life would be complete. My life is chosen. If I had an air conditioner, and you get an air conditioner, what happens? A month later, you're on to the next thing. But that other room's not air conditioning. You know, and the car, and the this, and the that, right? If only I would resolve these issues in my family, I'd be like the most happy person in the world. I'd say hallel every day. And I would never complain again. You won't hear a peep out of me. If my foot ever heals, oh man, I'm like, if you ever hear me fetching, just hit me over the head with a stick. So how long does that last? It lasts 2 weeks. 3 weeks. And then you're on to the next. That's in spirituality, it's not like that. In spirituality, you don't become nimas. You don't become rachok from your accomplishments. Because it's closer to Hashem, and you always feel that. Physical is illusory. It's just the desire that whets your appetite. And it's like drinking salt water when you're thirsty. That's what it is, mamish. And you just want more things, and then you nimas, right? Haman, v'cholze enenu shoveli. That's the sentence of a Russian. I mean, the sentence of us, you know. Russian necessarily, but the sentence of someone who's pursuing physical pleasures. Air conditioning, if I only had sensual air conditioning, then I would really be happy. I can go through my life with stuff like that. And if Hashem lets me move to Eretz Yisrael, I'm going to be like a tzaddik gomer. Are you kidding? I'm going to safely move my family. Right? So then you're here 6 months, and then no tzaros thought, that's all. I only marry with my children. Hashem, you are the greatest. You know, and then there's no end. But spiritual pleasures, you strive for more, but it's you're not nimas with what you have. Anyway, so this is a block for gratitude. You feel you're the center of the universe. Actually, in the beginning of Shara Bechina, the Lotus goes through the three impediments to feel gratitude. But here he mentions if you're the center of the universe, you feel entitlement and you don't appreciate. Okay, and you got it from your interaction with people. You have too much to do with people, so you see what they have. Maybe you want it, the grass is always greener on the other side. Meanwhile, you don't know that source. So, one of the. It's going to sound funny to you, you're going to laugh. One of the good. Well, maybe the only good thing about being a rabbi. you talk to people and you see that everyone has sorrows, and it really opens your mind because you're talking to the other people. Don't worry, it's confidentiality, but you're talking to people and they, the way you see things, and you know they're looking at the other person as glicklich is Yiddish, lucky, happy, go lucky, happy, wonderful, and you know that looking, and you know that other person, sorry, it's like a very, it gives you a perspective. Life is difficult. Chayil Bava says in Shara Bechina, the reason children get sick, poor little kid, he has an ear infection. Never, he doesn't know what's going on. He's just crying. Chayil Bava says it's Shara Bechina time. It's Hashem's doing it in his great chesed. The child, it's such an amazing statement. The child gets used to the idea subconsciously, obviously, that life is not smooth. Life is not smooth. It's amazing what he says. He says it in three words. He says the whole thing is three words. But it's such an amazing concept. It's so deep. It's so... Yeah, there's a good purpose. Hashem is doing chesed. It's just... obviously. Anyway. Omra nefesh. Maim hakochos. You ladies should put on a play. Of this conversation with the nefesh and the seichel, really.
I guess it'll be a pretty boring play. There's no plot.
Umahem akocho shani tzricha lamona mimeni. Okay, so what are the things that reinforce these negative attributes? So he already said, really, having connection with people, but here he's going to be more specific. Amra seichel. What feeds the first thing is that you have too many things that you don't need and that you only want. So it makes you thirsty for more. Kokos Amida Harishona, the strengths, the drive in a person that reinforces his desire for physical pleasures, hey, mostly hamaycho, too much eating, mishneh, lefush, clothing, batnuma, sleeping, bamenucha, too much relaxing, Too much, that's the nakuna. Vahashalva, shalva is like tranquility. You're overly concerned with life being tranquil. I just want a peaceful life. I don't want to have trouble. I don't want to follow, do this, because I don't want to have trouble. And Yaakov, I think it's Yaakov, Shevas Mishalva. That's a very famous statement. Vadomalahem. So that's what feeds when you have too many things that you only want and not need, so you want more. Abul Kochos Amida Hashemis, and this is also famous, because Chazal throws it in. He sprinkles his sefer with this. Hey, Moshe HaDibur. Because you talk too much. When you talk too much, you hear what other people's life, and everybody presents their life as being rosy, except people like to complain also, so maybe that works both ways. But they sit and talk, and this is what he says, right? Remember earlier in the shower he said that's one of the things you can't do too little of. Don't do too much of anything, don't do too little of anything, except sleeping and talking. It's okay to err on the side of too little, of course, I can always say this, not if you sleep too little that you get sick from it, or that you can't function well during the day, obviously does not mean that. But talking, we had a couple of years ago, we were learning this, and a lady, she's not here, so I don't want to embarrass her, no, she expressed great skepticism at the fact that talking is such a bad thing. So I asked her, do me a favor, she's trying it out for 3 days. She should only talk when she has to talk. She came back, she called me, like, that's unbelievable. Like, you have a different life. You know, it's so fantastic. So she didn't keep it up, of course, I don't keep it up. We don't keep it up. But she said, it's like, it's unbelievable. Like, you don't have to work, Shikara, this and that, and you're not busy with other people, you're not busy with an Irish guy. 90% of our talking is, oh, maybe not for women, for men. For women, because you're always doing things. Men, if they're not learning, they're not involved in their parnassus. So 90% of their talk is just a waste of time. It ends up being mitzvahs, lashon hara, stam bittul Torah, stam wasting. Rov cheres b'nei adam, Rov, he says Rov, he's a normal guy that spends a lot of too much socializing with other people. Right? There's people that have to go to every, I don't know if they have that here in America, flat, like, you have to go to every kiddush. Every kiddush, you have tansen afal chasenus, and they have to be involved with people. They get lonely when they don't interact with people. Because the lover says, you should always interact with Hashem. Yes, if you have to go to a chasana, then Hashem wants you to go to the chasana. If it's a mission, you will be mesameach the chasan or the kala, or you have to go because of certain family obligations that you can't escape, so then Hashem wants you to go. Yes.
If I was to work on this meeting, what is the appropriate way to do it?
Like, so he says, stop talking.
Go to talk and somebody would come up to you and say, start chatting. What is the perfect way to...
What do you think? No, if someone comes to you and starts talking to you, what do you think Hashem obviously wants you to answer? Hashem wants...
But to just answer one word...
Well, I can't answer. You know, there's no rules. Sometimes, just like giving someone... sometimes giving someone money is a fantastic mitzvah called tzedakah. Sometimes doing something to someone is a fantastic mitzvah, it's called chesed. And sometimes you give someone time and you listen to them talk, you're also doing a tremendous chesed. You just have to judge it. If they're just schmoozing, so you talk back enough to not appear unfriendly, to not make them feel there's something wrong with them when they didn't brush their teeth that morning, or whatever. And you don't want to be unfriendly. And then, if you wanted to work on this, yeah, you would go away as soon as it's already out of the category of seeming unfriendly. People, if they notice it, are anyway going to say, you're an unfriendly person. But that already has to be shayar yichud hamayis, so you don't care what people say about you. As long as you're talking about unfriendly, you can't say, that's good. Then you have to kick in that need of not caring what people say about you. You're married already, right? When you're not married, don't do it yet. You don't want the shotgun to say, she's an unfriendly person. I know people who just don't talk. You know? I know people who don't talk. I have friends who talk a lot and just talk. They're good people. They're really good people. And I have friends that really they don't talk. My kids, you know, they used to hope, don't speak unless you're spoken to. You read like Little House on the Prairie or those kind of books. You see? No, they don't makayim it. A child does not have the chutzpah to talk unless their parents ask them a question or they would, like, I don't know, raise their hand. You see, they didn't stop talk. They had Mora of Vang. That was 150 years ago. It was Mora of Vang. Now the parents are afraid to talk to the child. Get the child angry, I'll go off to Derek. Someone wrote me an email. They had a question. What I'm doing. They said, I don't want my child to get upset at me. I said, I remember the days when the child didn't want the parent to get upset at them. Now we're worried that the child shouldn't get upset at us. That's what we. Okay, I'll save it for parenting class. Most rarely, but I can't give you rules. If you don't talk unless it's necessary, you're right away going to cut out 75% of your talking. And you have to realize, not appearing unfriendly is called necessary. That is called necessary. So you have to, that's all you have to make these judgments consciously. But Rose Chagrin, you have to, if maybe I'll ask this lady permission to tell you who she is, and she'll tell you what she did for those 3 days. For Rov Cheres B'nai Yadam, most of interaction with people, not, again, not a chasson you have to go to, but not chesed that you're doing for people. Again, sometimes you have to give people time and your ear, and you have to let them talk. Something that's a big chesed. So, then Hashem wants you to do it. His nose will him, currying their favor, because you want to be viewed favorably by people. That turns into, and you have kinna, the kinyanim olamiyim, the achreichem b'asher b'yodom. Sometimes you squeeze people for their money, maybe you charge too much for services, maybe you borrow money that you can't give back, because your interactions deteriorate. There was also some, and you end up anyway, this is what feeds these two poisons. The IV that's feeding these two poisons are having things you want as opposed to need, and too much interaction with people, talking too much. That's what feeds into having unhealthy emotions, unhealthy characteristics, all the things you said before, jealousy, gaiva, one-upsmanship, you want to show better than the other person, or as good as the other person. V'mash is a chark mikosbech, so if it's true, kosbech here means your desire. If what you mentioned, that you have a desire for rov chetzech, lefroa tovos elokim alayich emes, to repay Hashem for all the good he bestows upon you, archikim yolayich, far away from the mash of chayti lof, men akochos, hamidos, b'chol yichon, as much as you're able to. That's the poison, and then I can start giving you the medicine. V'achakach el ala oizach al shar acher men arufua. Then we can start talking about the medicine that's going to heal you, and once you get rid of the poison, I can tell you how to eat healthy, how to develop a good relationship with Hashem. But as long as these two poisons are in you, so again, nowadays, I mean, is it so absolute? Probably not. Many Bali Musar said that, you know, that of course from the Yeridus Adoros, we can't stick to Tzur Meira and then the Asay Tov boat. They say, you know, he says, Kukula Yasser Asim in Ayayim. Torah, you have the Parsha of Sota first, then the Parsha of Nozir. In Torah Shabbal Pen, Gemara, Maseches Nozir comes before Maseches Sota. So in the order of the Shnai, it's in the order of the Gemara, said the Bali Musar or the late Sonim, I'm not sure which, say that by the time they already got down to the Gemara's time, they say if you wait for Sur Meira, you'll never get to Asay Tov. We better put Maseches Nozir before Maseches Sota. We got to start opening the Tov. You know, it's a very difficult call. It's a very difficult. Chinuch's different. Developmental needles are different. It's hard. Things are okay, but we're learning. Yeah.
I can understand that this builds your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but I think it would tend to cut you off from people, because how else do you build a relationship with people?
Somebody, he wants you to be cut off from people.
Well, if you're going to limit your speech, somebody new walks in and you don't...
As I said, of course, anything that's a mitzvah or anything that's a chesed, he's not talking about that. But I'm reasonably certain, again, this is very... He just says, realize it, that it's the cause of trouble. Again, tomorrow, you're going to stop being silent, you know, tomorrow. But if you, so let's take it as, okay, but the more I limit my speech, talking gets us into trouble. Not talking of a mitzvah, then you can feel secure that your talking won't get you into trouble. But the Chacham loves his view of talking. Anyone that learns say Chacham Zalotas knows that talking gets you into trouble. And the less you talk, the less trouble you get into. That's all. Should you be totally silent on it tomorrow? No, absolutely not. And when it's a mitzvah, he for sure doesn't look with disfavor upon it. But otherwise, if people, we're talking so theoretically, you got a tape recorder. And people, now we have tape recorders, you know. Which I challenge anybody here to tape themselves for 24 hours and see how much of the talking is narishkeit and pointless and purposeless. And his point is that purposeless and narishkeit talk leads to trouble. You're going to get into trouble. And the more people talk, you know, and it's korach in it, you get into trouble. You start talking about what you have, his wife, your wife, her husband, this husband, that husband. Just any talking that you think is a mitzvah, do the mitzvah, you have to do it. He's saying the truth, and it's more true than we want to admit. If someone has needs, someone would come to me and say, okay, I want to try to do this, but I have an emotional need to connect to other people. In my youth, I was an only child, class, I don't know. Well, it could be. So then, okay. Then you have to at least guard against what he says it brings to. But the more you talk, the more jealous you're going to be of other people, and the more you're going to measure your own self-worth against what the other person is, and really every person is their own world. So just at least be aware of the dangers of talking. You're going to end up measuring yourself against the other person, or measuring the other person against yourself. We're always, the Chayyotis knows what he's talking about. Any interaction we have with someone, we're always like, probably Freud says the same thing. I'm sorry for saying it that way. We're always measuring like where we are vis-a-vis the other person. Like, who's ahead? Who's ahead? And nobody's ahead. Shari Yichel HaMaisa teaches us that no one's ahead. Everyone's in their own world, and you do what you're supposed to do, and stop looking at other people. And you never know, right? We have earlier, says you never know, because we don't know how to make value judgments. Only Hashem could. So the person you look down on could be a million times better than you. The person you look up to could be a million times worse than you. Those are things that are only Hashem is privy to. Okay. That's what he says. Now we're ready to start the medicine. But then he says, Omer HaNefesh, this is too hot. You see, the Nefesh should be in this class and say, Rabbi, it's much too hot. Zeh Yiksha Olai, this is like too hot. Lipori, I can't do this. And they Orech Regilusibo. So now, again, we're not up to the refuah yet. We're up to stop eating poison. And now he tells them, tell me Eitzes, how to get away from this poison. How do I break the addiction? It's way too hard. I'm too used to it. I'm too regular in these two addictions, which are stopping me from taking the medicine to achieve Avodas Hashem in Ha'ora Sichlis. See, if you just say, I'm going to stick to Ha'ora Toronis, Rabbi, and let's go on to the next shahr. So then life is easy, really. If you're doing the rituals of Judaism, so then you don't have all these issues. Right? You say, okay, I'm going to stick to what it says in the Shulchan Aruch I have to do, what it says in the Shulchan Aruch I don't have to do, and I'm not going to worry about what's going on inside of me. So that's a problem here. Right? He listed the seven or eight problems. If you ignore Ora Sichlis, right, and you just do Ora Toronis, it brings the trouble. Okay, so he says, the Nefesh says, I'm too used to this lifestyle. Give me answers how to make it easier for me to somewhat lighten up on these things I do. Amar Seichel, so he says, I'll make it very easy for you. Make it very easy for you. Let's say you have a diseased lip, and you know if you keep the diseased lip there, it's going to chas v'shalom spread. Okay? It's going to spread to your whole body, and then you know what happens. Then someone says, hey, you want to cut off your arm? So you're not going to say, oh, my arm, how can I part with my arm? I'm so used to my arm, and it means so much to me, and I was born with my arm, and I can't bear the thought of losing my arm. When you realize that the alternative is losing your life, then all of a sudden, says the Chayyot HaVolos, it becomes quite easy to part with your arm. The way it is. So he says, I'll make it easier for you. Now I'll make it easier for you by telling you to think about the consequences if you don't take my advice. I have a niece in Lakewood who's a single dietitian. So she says, Uncle Chaim, first of all, whenever you want to eat something, just call me up. I'll be there for you. And she taught me a sentence, and it worked. I mean, once in a while. I don't use it too often. She said it. It sounds funny, but it works. Do you want that piece of cake, or do you want to live? That's the sentence she teaches. That's what she teaches her. Patience called what you want her. Do you want a piece of cheesecake, or do you want to live? And he said, that's how you have to think of it. You have to think of it as something that's going to affect your life. It's going to shorten your life. It's going to make you ill. It's going to... If you think of it that way, all of a sudden it's going to be very easy. That's what she said. And it's not a shite. So, of course, we try to not think of that sentence when we're facing the cheesecake. But once in a while, you do it. And this is exactly, I tell them, what the Chayyim Lubavitcher says. If you think something's that hard, just put the starkness of the choice in front of you. He says, no one, do you want to lose your arm? No. The alternative is to lose your life. Take my arm. No. That's what he says. Yodata ki amaskil, a thinking person, yekil be'enav lichros nesachachat minesachat, will find it very easy to agree to amputate the part of his body, and to lose one of his limbs, if he has a disease, and he's taka understand the possibility, may his pashto b'shorei vorov, it's going to go to the rest of his body. This is a hard choice. I want to lose my hand or lose my life. Right? He realizes the difference between two evils. Im tirtzi, okay, he's talking to the neshama, he talks to Lashon Nekeva, v'chein at, im tirtzi shetekel beinayich, if, you know, so that, Mr. Seichel, make it easier for me, it's so hard, how do I change habits of a lifetime? So, we would say, okay, and maybe we'd be right, you know, do it first for an hour a day. You know, it's okay, that's probably a good way to do it. But if the Rebbe says, if you want to take the bainayah, I can. The whole thing's psychological. The whole thing is how you think of it. I'll make it very easy for you. Tirtzi should take the bainayah paredas to separate yourself, masha paredosu kosher, something that's very difficult to give up. See me a libech, take the heart, hishtam shim be nosech, use your seichel. Okay, that's like sort of strike three for most people. Vishikol. Yeah. You're weighing loss of your arm, which is the most horrible, horrible, horrible thing in the world. But all of a sudden you think of it, or to lose my life. So, Bishiko Mashiach Ben Hatova, Asher Tagia Elak, Bipartak Menanu, think of the benefit of ridding yourself of this habit, for Haraw and the terrible calamity. Asher Timsa Osof Pasmodas Chevroso, you have a goal in life. You have a life to live. A life of Avodas Hashem. I am telling you, if you don't break this habit, again, everything's in measure, and it could take 10 years, but talking conceptually. If you don't break this habit, you will... Someone says, I have a job. So I want to go to a job, and I want to work, and I want to be successful, and that's my career. I'm not talking about Rosie's time. I'm on a career. I want to be a doctor. I want to be... That's my goal. But you know, if they put an intern through, I can't do it. But when you want to reach your goal, you're going to do it. And they all do it. Well, that's the way to reach their goal. Because if you understand what your goal in life is, your career in life is to be an Omer Hashem, then it's not going to be hard. You have to trust the Chazal Halavos. You have to believe the Chazal Halavos that these things are poison. And you can't, you want the cheesecake or do you want to live? You want to yap away your whole life? Again, sometimes it's a mitzvah too, please listen. You want to have these two poisons in you, or do you want to have a purposeful life? And we're talking purposeful, ultimately, Hashem's purpose. See me a libich the shtam shibi be nozak hil to sechel mashikol 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 raw and the raw is a tiptoe from the sun there. Flaz yeko beinayah, peritus mashikol mashikol. That's all. He didn't say do it for a half hour a day. It's like saying, how do I stop talking Lashon Hara? Do a bitchul. So we hear always do it an hour a day, and that's what we need to do. Because Avos is saying, take out the Sefer Chavetz Chaim, read the consequences of talking Lashon Hara, visualize them, and guess what? It's all of a sudden going to be very easy. That's the thing. If you frame the question, do you want to eat the cheesecake, or do you want to live, all of a sudden the answer is going to be very, very easy. I gotta call up my niece, Susan. I actually did it last week and it worked.